The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller. Find your next obsession. Or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
Where's your cat?
Upstairs.
Can you make sure that your cat is locked out of my recording?
No, I don't lock cats out of recordings. They're free to come and go as they please, man. Don't you know Okay. Cats are our masters? This week on Dueling Review, we review Goosebumps, Monsters at Midnight number 1. When Mia and Ginny go to stay at their grandma's mothball-filled house for the summer, boredom forces them to venture out into her tiny town. What they find in a dusty used bookstore launches them into an upside-down world of terror. Did you ever read Goosebumps?
No, Goosebumps were after our time.
Yeah, they came out in like 92. So people are always like shocked and stunned when they're like, Steven, you never read the Goosebumps books or never watched the TV show? And I'm like, I was 22 when that stuff came out.
When Steven and I were of the appropriate age to read Goosebumps, we were actually reading something called Dynamite, which came out from Scholastic. And that's where Bob Stein worked before Goosebumps.
Yeah.
Bob Stein's work is not something that we are unfamiliar with. We're just literally too old to have read Goosebumps. And by the time it came out, it was aimed at 12-year-olds at the time when we were 20 and 22. Yeah. And we were busy with grown-up things like Power Rangers and DuckTales in 1992. I had Power Rangers. You had DuckTales. I mean,
By 92, you know, yeah, probably still into DuckTales at 92.
Adult stuff. What was DuckTales was 87, 88?
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember seeing DuckTales in the morning before Power Rangers. It was like Bonkers and DuckTales and then Power Rangers.
Yeah, that's after they moved, because when they first aired like on Channel 69 in the syndication, they were in an afternoon block.
And then they
moved into a morning slot for some places. And then after they kicked off the Tailspin and Rescue Rangers, that's when they started their Disney afternoon block of stuff and moved everything into the afternoon.
Tailspin would run
right before, if I remember correctly, right before Batman the Animated Series came on.
Friends for life through thick and thin with another tale to spin.
Boom, boom.
Cha-da-cha.
So IDW Publishing acquired the Goosebumps comic book property. And I don't know if this is the first one to arrive. For some reason, I want to say that they had another series before this, but maybe this is the first series. Goosebumps Monsters at Midnight.
I will swear to you that you or I, or a combination of you and I, have covered a Goosebumps title.
Maybe. I know I have. Oh, well, no, I take that back. Maybe we did.
I think we may have on this very show.
May have. But I just don't remember it. I do.
Was it a Goosebumps?
Yeah, I think it was a Goosebumps. It was this is the first one. This is the first one.
Oh, then what am I thinking of? Probably thinking of Clue.
Yeah, that's maybe it. Yeah, I'm just trying to, because I was like, what? I don't remember. For some reason, this was announced a while ago, but now it's just finally arriving on our doorstep. And for a first chapter, it wasn't bad, I guess. The thing for me is the ventriloquist puppet, was that always like the big bad thing behind the corner? Because that book didn't come out until like book 7.
I believe that the ventriloquist puppet
Night of the Living Dummy.
The ventriloquist puppet is the Wolverine of your Goosebumps.
Uh-huh.
It's the, you know, Goliath of the gargoyles of your Goosebumps. It's the I don't know, the shipwreck.
Well, so I was,
G.I. Joe.
That being said, I was rather disappointed that at the end of this issue, the living dummy is out there kind of saying, "Welcome to Hellville." And it's just like, really, this is the way they're going to do it? Because they could have just made it like some scary monster thing. It was just really something that I'm like, okay, I can buy this. There's a scary bookstore and these two girls go in and they're looking for scary books. And this is, of course, a not your mom and dad's B. Dalton scary bookstore, but, you know, a rundown B. Dalton scary bookstore. Right. And they wind up in the Hellaverse. And then the scary dummy comes out. I'm like, well, okay, so this, I understand that this is really popular, but it kind of cheapens the story overall.
I don't know. I mean, it you have to look at it one of two ways. From the perspective of, are you telling an individual discrete story? I feel like having the dummy, who is now sort of, you know, the mascot of the Goosebumps, show up could be something that comes in and you can say, well, it damages the story. But you could also look at it as saying that's the bit that makes it not just a Twilight Zone or not just, you know, a licensed property X. This is more than just a kid-friendly Outer Limits because of the presence of that character who makes it officially Goosebumps, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I can see that, but it's just, I don't know. I know my son read Night of the Living Dummy like 2 years ago. And he freaked out about it. Both my wife
Can't
and he
sleep.
Were like,
clown will eat me.
Yeah,
Can't
basically
sleep.
It was,
clown will eat me.
It was basically that they were just like, that was scary. That was horrifying. And they kind of enjoyed it. And kind of right after that, he kind of stopped reading the Goosebumps stuff. Yeah. I think he only read like 5 or 6 of them. And so I understand that this is, as you said, the Wolverine, this is the Batman. This is your Kyle Rayner of horror mascots, right?
Kyle Rayner.
Yes. Yes.
Kyle Rayner.
He's the most popular Green Lantern, or so I hear. According to Ooh. Jason Inman, he's the most popular. Okay. He's the most popular Green Lantern of them all.
That's like, no, you can't take Jason Inman's opinion on which is the most popular Green Lantern, because that's like asking me who's the best G.I. Joe. And the people will be like, well, you know, what about all these guys? And I'm like, nope, Scarlet.
Yeah, it's, well, Scarlet. See, there you go.
It's always Scarlet.
So I can understand. I can understand at the end, it's like, hey, welcome to this thing, blah, blah, blah. And of course, the movie reinforced the dummy's presence in that, the Jack Black movie. So, you know, I can understand it. But at the same time, I was kind of hoping, yeah, just give me horror story, something in the vein of, you know, a classics Goosebumps book. And in fact, they even reference a Goosebumps book in the that's the thing that gets them to go to the bookstore, because the younger girl of the two sisters, she forgot to bring her copy of Stay Out of the Basement with her to grandma's house. And that's why they go into the bookstore looking for a copy.
Yep. Don't go in the basement.
Yeah. And so I was really surprised that they had that. I mean, that was a nice little subtle call out to fans of the Goosebumps series. And then they hit you over the head with a giant dummy standing 50 feet above the set pieces at the end.
Well, I think there are references throughout the book.
I'm sure there are.
Bits and pieces of Goosebumps lore, because that clock looks super fishy. A lot of the things that are drawn in the foreground, I'm like, okay, is that a reference?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I caught the Evil Dead Necronomicon.
Yes, that was in there, yes.
There's a lot of things. And that clock, with the thing that says not broken, just taking a break, I will put money down that that is somehow related to one of the Goosebumps books, somewhere along the line. And if you're out there listening right now and you're telling me, you're screaming at your radio going, yes, it's the case of the clock with the sign on it. It's Goosebumps number 56. Go ahead and send us an email at podcast@majorspoilers.com and tell us what we've forgotten.
And if you are listening to this on the radio, please let us know what channel you're listening to this on, because I would be very interested to know.
It's that Gilligan's Island radio, the one that always plays.
Yeah, they're out in the middle of nowhere. But they can pick up any radio station.
It'll play a newscast specific to their situation.
Yes.
Even when we're talking about small town Kansas in the middle of nowhere, the National Radio Board in Hawaii will be talking about how Marianne's ex-boyfriend Horace Higginbottom is getting married.
Yes. So from a story perspective, this is a, I think it's a really good, solid first chapter. It has a great setup. You meet these two girls. They're staying with grandma.
The older sister has got a bummed up leg from soccer, and she's bummed she can't go to camp. And the younger sister has asthma and health problems. And they're just bored in this small little town where grandma lives, and they want something to do just to get out of the house. And little sister is looking for a copy of this book. So they go into the scary bookstore around midnight to get a copy. And then it leads into, Scaryville. And so from a setup perspective, I think it's really great. I think this is a super kid friendly story. Yep. I think the art is fine. I just think that to me, and I think the kids are reacting at that final panel to the giant dummy in the sky. So maybe if he was just the Rod Serling of this comic book stepping out to address the audience that they're in this world, I'd be totally okay with it. But if they're going to spend the next four issues or however many issues this is running away from the dummy and he's throwing every Goosebumps reference at them a la the movie, then that's not going to be so much fun.
I don't know. I mean, it really does depend on what you're coming in for. And I feel like with an all ages comic, it can be hard to balance that children who love this and children who love repeated jokes and again, who want to see Slappy, who want to see, you know, the other, I don't know what's in a Goosebumps, like the Animorphs are in a Goosebumps book, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's, the Choose Your Own Adventures and the Wrinkle in Times are probably all in Goosebumps book. But when you come at it from the perspective of someone, first of all, probably older than a target audience, although this is not a book that's aimed at children, I like that. But if you come at it to where you're not necessarily the target audience, it may feel like an, oh my God, why are we doing this? You know, if you turn on wrestling, you're like, oh my God, where's Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's not on it right now.
Oh, I'm going to change to something else.
And then Dwayne The Rock Johnson pops up and goes, ha ha, I'm Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Ha ha. And I think that's kind of what Slappy is in this. He's The Rock. Excuse me. I have the hiccups.
He's the rock on which our horror franchise will be built.
Yes. He thou art Peter, and upon this rock I shall build my Goosebumps. That's an odd reference for a Halloween episode, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is definitely our last dueling review before Halloween. So I think it's perfect that this book came out this week, because that's something to maybe get you a little bit in the mood, because next week will be November 1st and you'll be outside your Octobers and everything. I really can't complain about this book except for the one little thing. This is definitely a solid, like, 4 out of 5, 4.5 out of 5 kind of slices of meatloaf kind of book for me. I think, like I said, I think it's a good, and I think this is an all ages book. There's nothing in here that would make me say, I don't know if you should let your 8-year-old read this, because
I don't know. Street.
I think you can totally let your 8-year-old read this.
Yeah, I think you can. And I do think that it could be appealing to non-8-year-olds too, because this is a book that drew me in. And I appreciate the art style in this not being super, super kid cartoony, but still having some, mm-hmm. Some squash and stretch to it and having some of the exaggeration.
Oh,
but
sure.
But also being, very solid storytelling, some pretty interesting art. I wouldn't mind seeing more of the Goosebumps, even though I'm not necessarily super, I'm not all about the Goosebumps and it's not my thing.
Yeah.
If this is my first introduction to Goosebumps ever, I think I'd be fine with it.
If this were my first, okay, so maybe I wouldn't agree with you on that. Because if this were my first introduction to Goosebumps, I would totally get to the end and go, why is there a giant ventriloquist dummy, and why is there a skeleton, and why is there a haunted carnival, which I'm pretty sure all three of the, besides the dummy that we already talked about, the carnival is a book, and I'm pretty sure that skeleton punk rocker is a thing. And so I'd be I would be looking at this going, okay, this doesn't make any sense. If I were brand new to this, but I have a feeling, I don't want to say most kids, but I would say
many kids.
Yes, I would say many, many kids in this age demographic of 6 to 13.
6 to 100.
Maybe not that old. Have seen the Goosebumps movie.
Right.
Or at least have read the books. And so they're going to identify with a lot of this stuff. So I think it would be very hard to find someone who is not familiar with this stuff. Even me, who's not read the books, I sat down with my kids one night because they wanted to have some fun. I was like, well, let's watch this scary movie, kids. And so we watched the Goosebumps movie, and I saw where everything was coming from. So even going into the book with only movie knowledge, I was familiar with some of this stuff.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I mean, I don't pass it up. I mean, if you're a fan of Goosebumps, mm-hmm. I think this is something you're going to want to pick up. If you are just if you like the movie, probably something you want to pick up. If you're looking for something that doesn't have blood and gore and the word crossed across the cover, then I think you will probably want to get this for your kid. So I mean,
not speak to you for days.
Yeah, if you buy Crossed and send it to Matthew, he will not speak to you for days. We call it the anti-Matthew escape packet.
Really?
Matthew's running at you. You just rip it open, throw a copy of Crossed at you, and he turns around and runs.
Just remember the important thing. If I'm running, it's not at you. And you also need to run because I'm clearly being chased. And if there's one thing I'll never be for as long as it's chased. That came out wrong. Or did it?
I don't know, but probably not appropriate the way that some people are listening to that when we're talking about an all ages book. Anyway, coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, we have Once and Future Queen trade paperback. We also have Witcher, the adult coloring book trade paperback. I don't know how it's called a trade paperback if it's just a coloring book. It should just be called a coloring book.
It may be a collection of adult coloring books.
No, I don't think it's that.
I think it's a trade paperback format. Collecting more than one adult coloring book, and that's why it's a coloring book trade paperback.
No, I don't think it's that either.
I think that's what it is.
I have the review copy, and I can tell you that's not what it is. I can't believe it. So that's another thing that's a little odd. And please, publishers who are listening and PR people that are listening, I am thankful that you send us review copies, like this review copy of Goosebumps that we read today. There you go, yes. FTC. But I'm really surprised when I get the coloring books for review.
Yeah, I love those.
No, I mean, they're really cool, right? So a lot of these coloring books are cool. If you're into Witcher, or if you're into Star Trek, or if you're into Game of Thrones, or whatever it may be, and a company is putting out these coloring books, you know, they're complex. That's why they're called adult coloring books. But when they send us those copies, I kind of just want to hit the print button and then just print out a copy of this for myself and start coloring it in. But
yeah, why not?
Yeah. Anyway.
Can you do that?
Well, you can certainly hit the print button. May have a watermark down on the corner or across the entire page, depending on the publisher.
Color in the watermark.
Yeah. DC Comics has Bane Conquest number 7 of 12, Batman number 34, Batman White Knight number 2.
Steven, I'm Bane, and this is how I talk.
No, that's not.
Matthew, what are you doing, Matthew?
Don't
I don't think you know how to speak correctly, like my friend Bane.
Bombshells United number 5, Cyborg number 18, DC's Greatest Hits box set. That's a $40 book.
Wonder what's in it.
I don't know. Makes you wonder, right?
Right, because you figure it has to be single issues.
Or trades. You know? Well, not trades, not for $39.94. Yeah, so it's got to be like, yeah, it's got to be single issues. Yeah, that's weird.
Like Justice League of America 227 and Black Hawk 224.
Well, now you've got me curious.
The Creeper number 1. We need to find out what's in that.
Well, see, here's a cool thing that I can do. I can go copy and paste into my search box, and it comes out, and it says DC's Greatest Hits box set over at the DC website. This one is 4 of DC's recent greatest trade paperbacks. Oh, wow, that's nice. Recent trade paperbacks. That's 4 trade paperbacks for $40.
Wow.
That's a pretty good deal. So here's what you're getting. Batman versus Superman, The Greatest Battles, Harley Quinn's Greatest Hits, Wonder Woman, Her Greatest Battles, and Justice League, Their Greatest Triumphs.
Huh.
Now, here's the other thing that's really interesting. Trade paperback. This is a $39.99 divided by 4. That's about $9.99
a trade
paperback, which is something you don't see anymore. But this week, for those people who are listening, this week, it was, what is the Chapter House Books out of Canada, the people that do the Captain Canuck and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
They announced that starting in January, all of their single issues are going to be $1.99. which Ooh. Even beats, I think, well, maybe Alterna is also at $199. But those two are keeping the price really low. And Chapter House announced all of its trade paperbacks from now on will be $9.99.
Wow.
Which is I think that's a great deal. I think that's a great thing. And I think with the glut of comics that are on the market and publishers that are out there, keeping that price low means it's probably a little bit more appealing for someone to pick it up, especially if they don't know what your property is. And they're like, oh, I can kick $2 to this, as opposed to a $4.99 book,
mm-hmm.
like Dead Man Number One, which comes out next week from DC Comics. That's the Glow in the Dark edition. Remember Glow in the Dark comics back in the 90s? Yeah, I do.
I hated them.
Well, they're back. As is Deathstroke Number 25, Injustice 3 Number 13, The Jetsons Number 1 of 6.
Interested in that.
And the Superman Number 34.
Rough and Ready was remarkably good.
I saw your review. I didn't have a chance to read it myself. There was a, remember back when they were doing the previews of the Hanna-Barbera stuff?
Uh-huh.
There was a Rough and Ready backup of that, and I had read it and said that was really good.
And it was, this is what that is. This and the Snagglepuss.
Is it just the backup? Is it the same backup story, or is it expanded upon?
It's expanded.
Okay.
The backup stories that we got were not the full stories.
Right. But so they were just like the first six pages or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to Snagglepuss, too.
Yeah. Rough and Ready basically says, okay, it's like Roger Rabbit, cartoons exist. And in
right.
the 50s, the top show in the world was Rough and Ready. And now, in mm-hmm. the future, the unidentified, maybe however many years later, Rough and Ready are both, you know, half retired, and somebody has an idea about how to bring them back. But first, they have to make up. And I'm reading
yeah.
this, and I'm like, this is totally Martin and
yeah,
Lewis.
Yeah, the Martin and Lewis stuff. Although they never really, I listened to an interview with Jerry Lewis from, it was on NPR from like maybe 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about that they really never hated each other. Mm-hmm. They always respected each other. They just got to the point where they couldn't agree on which way they wanted to go in their movies. So they really weren't communicating with one another, and they were both very busy. But if you watch that reunion that they had where Frank Sinatra brought them out on stage together, that's pure emotion right there. And they are really just forgiving yep. all differences right there. So yes, but I thought when I read that original backup piece, I was like, oh yeah, this is Martin and Lewis. This is Abbott and Costello. This is every comedy team that ever fell apart.
Yeah.
And so this should be really interesting. Should be really interesting. IDW Publishing next week has Atomic Robo Spectre of Tomorrow Number 1. I'll give you a little spoiler on this. If you haven't already read this issue online at the Atomic Robo website, Sir Richard Branson is a foil for Atomic Robo and the rest of the Action Scientists. That's all I will say. Sir Richard Branson. And Elon Musk does get a name drop in this first issue, too. So there you go. DuckTales number 2 arrives next week, as does ROM number 14 and TMNT Ghostbusters 2 number 1. Mm-hmm. Over at Image Comics, Crosswinds number, what is it, 5? Yes, Crosswinds number 5. You get an invincible figure pin for $10, and they have
a... So the pin is invincible, or the figure is invincible?
Well, it's an invincible figure pin, so I'm guessing it's invincible in pin form that you can put on your backpacks or your jean jackets or wherever else you're putting your pins these days.
What year is it in your head?
You don't know that the pins are like a really big thing right now.
Do they wear jean jackets again?
Some
kid is
people,
like, jean jackets are out.
Some people have. If you go to the conventions, people are wearing these pins all over their jackets and stuff. Hmm. I just wish that I had a really cool, now I was not into Letterman jackets when I was in high school because I didn't like the colors red and white, and everybody had the white leather sleeves with the red wool vest part. And so when I was in college, I convinced my mom, I don't know how, to spend the money to get me a black wool with gray leather sleeves. And I love that jacket. I would stick pins all over that today if I had that jacket. And it would fit me. That was the problem, is it doesn't fit me.
So anymore. Anybody who works in a jacket shop.
I'm talking about the Letterman style jacket. with the it's the black wool, right?
And on you're the, not, on you're the outside. You're not at a Big and Tall shop either, so you can just get one off the counter.
Yeah, and then I can I'm probably at a Big and Tall shop. I wish I wasn't, but I need the gray leather sleeves, like the not charcoal gray, but a little bit brighter than that. But yeah, that was my favorite jacket of all time. Mm, miss that jacket. But I would certainly cover it with an Invincible figure pin, and for only $10. Holy cow. Over at Marvel Comics, the Astonishing X-Men number 5, Avengers 673. Hey, look, they've gone back to that legacy printing numbering. Guardians of the Galaxy 146. Really? 146 issues of Guardians of the Galaxy?
All told, yeah. Well, I don't know if they're counting from the original Guardians of the Galaxy all the way back
to 1969. They would have to.
The original Guardians, they did a run in Marvel Presents. The 90s Guardians of the Galaxy went over 100 issues.
Oh, okay. Well, then maybe they're only counting that run. Because if they were in...
If you count everything with a Guardians header on it, I know you can get to 50 issues.
Yeah, just in the last 6 years.
Yeah, well, they're on like volume 6 or volume 8.
Yeah, so that would be almost 90 issues then.
Yeah.
So, interesting. Iceman number 7, Old Man Logan number 30, Power Pack number 63, Spider-Man 234, and if you are a fan of the Darth Vader, Star Wars Darth Vader number 7 arrives next week from Marvel Comics. In all the rest category, there is a manga classics graphic novel of The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn. It's $17.
Huckleberry Finn.
Yes, he's the one that he and Jim went down the trip on the river.
I remember.
It's one of the most banned books ever.
Flavor of Kool-Aid.
It is the one of the most banned books of all time. Mm-hmm. And it's in the manga classic graphic novel, so I wonder if that's one you have to read backwards to forwards.
I don't know. That would be kind of cool.
I bought my son the first 3 volumes of My Hero Academia, the English translations of those, but they are the backwards to forward stuff. And he kind of he freaked out when I showed them to him, and I was like, oh, buddy, you got to check this out. And I said, but you have to read this backwards to forward. He's like just brushing it off. He's like, yeah, I know, Dad. It's like, you've never read manga before. I'm explaining to you how it works. And within an hour, he's like, Dad, I'm already through the first volume. And I'm like, ah, crap. I got to order the rest or you're not going to have anything to do. So he's liking that. Let's see. We have Archie number 25, Betty Page number 4, Doctor Who, the 10th Doctor, the complete edition year 1 hardcover. That's a $50 book. Dog Man, the Epic Collection boxed set number 1. What else do we have? Grimm's Fairy Tales, Neverland, Return of Book 1 Shot. Wait. Grimm's Fairy Tales, Neverland, Return of Book 1 Shot.
Neverland, Return of.
I know.
Book.
One.
Return of Book?
I guess that's what it is. Return of Book 1 Shot.
1 Shot.
As opposed to Return of Book 1 Shot. Jungle Fantasy Survivors. Well, they are really upping their game.
I'm going to say 18 covers.
16 covers.
Wow.
They are really upping their game. They must be doing big business with these variant covers. Wow, that's a lot. Red Sonja number 10 comes out, Robotech number 4, Robin Hood the Hunt number 4, Shadow Batman number 2. Sisters, what is it? Just called Sisters. Graphic novel volume 4, Selfie Awareness. Spiritus number 2. The Willows
selfie
number 1.
Awareness.
Selfie Awareness.
Selfie.
That's why I had the pause there for you to jump in. Also, Uber Invasion number 9. And I don't believe that's about a car company. I think it's just Uber Invasion number 9.
Uber is, gosh, who is it? Is that Cullen Bunn doing 40s superheroes in World War II?
I believe it is.
Superpowered soldiers, I guess I should say.
Yeah, it's superpowered soldiers. This is from Avatar Press. Mm-hmm. And it is by Kieran Gillen. And Daniel Gate.
Okay.
Or Gete. G-E-T-E.
Sometimes I confuse Kieran Gillen with Cullen Bunn.
Yeah.
Because they sound similar.
But this is definitely a reimagining of superpowers in history is back with America under attack. In the waning days of World War II, the Germans discovered a way to enhance soldiers into unstoppable monsters. With these weapons, Hitler conquered all of Europe and now has his sights set on the United States. This is Uber invasion. The German battleships are on American soil, and with the Allies struggling to make up lost ground and enhance soldier development, a young country is facing the possibility of annihilation. Dub-a-da-bum. Get the first issue now, $3.99, over at comixology.com. Also, you can check out the list of all the comics coming out next week by heading over to majorspoilers.com. We'll have that up for you on Monday, so go check it out. Next week on Dueling Review,
Doctor Who Lost Dimension Omega number 1. The thrilling conclusion to this year's event. As the universe slips away into the void, the doctors are brought together to face a foe as colossal as it is unlikely. The rules of time and space, cause and effect, break down completely, and the doctor is all that stands between Earth and annihilation.
Oh, that sounds scary. Can't wait till next week. And listeners, if you want to show your support for this show and everything that we do at Major Spoilers, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/majorspoilers. Now, you hear us talk about this week after week, and it's really true. I mean, your contribution allows us to keep this show going. If it wasn't for your help, we would have to cancel the show, and Matthew would have to just wander off at night and do something fun and exciting. You know, your contribution helps us pay for the growing costs of doing this show, the server costs, the hosting costs, all the contributors' costs. And, you know, best of all, when we know that we have fine patrons out there in the world, and we have patrons from all over the world, it makes us feel good. Doesn't it make you feel good, Matthew?
It does.
You know what? In it all, and because we feel good, we have the motivation to produce more shows for you each and every week. So thank you so much for checking out Dueling Review. And we will be back next time when you will hear Matthew say,
"Our tale isn't done yet. There is a new ending I wish to write."
This podcast is copyright 2017 by Major Spoilers Entertainment, LLC.